Appreciate your pastor and his wife, and pray for them daily. They've been special. I was thinking as we were talking, you know, you get older, you kind of forget all the different places you've been, but I think 2016 or 17, we were down here, and we were talking on the way back, and what is it, you know, when you travel, you meet so many people, and you put a family, the church, in a certain spot in your prayer life, and you was wondering, what in the world made this so great? Was it just the pastor and his wife? And then I remembered it's the people here that were so friendly that go along with the pastor and his wife. And that's made a difference. And Jeanette was telling me that on the way home. We both are country folks. I grew up on a dairy farm. She grew up in an area where they own their own land. I was, you know, worked on somebody else's land. But anyway, that's another whole story. But we just kind of know what it is to live out in the area and grew up. And God has certainly blessed us. And I love people. I love wonderful, sweet people, whether it's in a restaurant, a church. And we've been to enough churches in our lifetime to be able to see just about everything there is in the Independent Baptist Church. And we appreciate you all. Love you so much and thank the God for what he's doing here. I know enough about church to know when they're good people doing a work for God. And you all certainly ought to be commended for what you're doing for the cause of Christ. And we pray for you. Thank God for each of you. Got a real blessing, really blessing, when we walked in to get to see Dr. and Mrs. Thompson. Now, you're talking about someone that's impacted lives, and they have impacted my life when I got into ministry years ago. I was talking, my wife and I handled the seniors in our ministry in our Sunday school. I was talking to a couple in my church in our class, and told them that we were coming here to Fellowship Baptist Church and hope to get to see Dr. and Mrs. Thompson. And she said, oh, I know them. Their son, Daniel, actually graduated from Ingleside a number of years ago. Now he's down in Alabama doing a wonderful work for the Lord. And we thank God for the impact, Brother and Mrs. Thompson, that you've had on fundamentalism and the cause and being in our area, one of the churches that I kids used to compete there with Ingleside and Bethlehem and Fairfax and all of those churches. And so we certainly thank God for them. And thank you, Brother Son Thompson, for bringing them here. And thank you for allowing me to be able to come as well. I appreciate you, appreciate your friendship. And thank God for what you're doing here for the cause of missions. And by the way, you're blessed to have a missions team. We have that in our church, a great missions team, makes all the difference in the world. And I hope you'll get behind them and support them. They have a lot to do to be able to get a church ready to be able to be used the way God wants to use a local church. And you look like you have a good missions team, and we certainly thank God for that. Thank you for having us again. Jeanette and I certainly appreciate the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the accommodations. Thank you for the food. I ate two bowls of soup, and then I dipped into a coconut cake that was very, very good. Coconut cake is my favorite. I'm not supposed to eat a lot of it, but I enjoyed it, and I thank you so much. It was very, very good. She did a great, great job. You probably knew that. That's why you came up bragging on you already. So anyway, thank you so much, Oliver, and for you and your friendship to Kenny as well. And thank you also so much for allowing us to be here, be a part of your conference. Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. I want everybody to take Bible. We're going to look at a passage here that's a very familiar passage to me. I preach this probably more times than any passage in the Bible. And our church, when I was pastoring and all over, preached this passage before here. And I kind of committed years ago that I never go in any kind of a missions conference without preaching from Matthew chapter 28. So if you take your Bibles there, Matthew chapter 28. No passage in the Bible after I got saved and pastored has impacted my life any more than this particular passage here that God laid upon my heart many, many years ago, made a difference in our church, made a difference in my life. Matthew chapter 28, once you find your place, if you're physically able to stand, I want to read a very familiar passage, and we may look at one other passage here, but we're going to stay right here, and then I want to just talk to you tonight as we finish up our missions emphasis Sunday, and trust that God will give you some things to think about here the next several months until you have your missions conference here later on in the year. and God will charge us up. I know that we've had a pandemic, and it's made a big difference. It's changed a lot in churches and changed a lot in lives, but we still have a biblical responsibility to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to have to start using all the tools that God will give us to get the gospel out, because that will not change until Jesus comes back. So thank you so much. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, that's a promise, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for folks who've come to Sunday schools, Sunday morning service, worked in the nursery, worked in children's church, worked on the bus ministry. They've done so much for the cause of what you've given this local church to do. And I thank you for the faithful servants here at Fellowship Baptist Church and Pastor and his family and the wonderful leadership here, the missions team, and all that they've done to be able to try to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the missionaries that they support and be able to help get the gospel around the world. I pray you'll meet with us here tonight. I pray you'll give us some final thoughts this day that will help us to go out through the weeks and months and even years to be able to do more for the cause of Christ. Take me as your servant, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, then fill me with thine Holy Spirit. We ask you these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The Lord says in Matthew 16, 18, And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. You know, I love the local church. From the time that I got saved, I knew that the church was different. It's not an organization. It's an organism. It's something that belongs to Almighty God. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. I mean, that alone, I'll tell you, if I want to find the truth, I want to start finding it in the local New Testament church. The church is the program of God. I mean, can you imagine God organized this program to be able to carry out the Great Commission? The church is the place where Jesus is preeminent. You know what I like about the church? It's the leveling ground of society. We ought to be able to look over here, look over here. Doesn't make any difference where we are, where we came from, what color we may be. We're part of an organism when everybody's not looking around, because everybody's looking up at Jesus. And that's not enough. He purchased the church with his own blood. So I think it's about high time that we realize God knew what he was doing when he established the local New Testament church. I believe without a doubt from the period of time that Jesus was here on earth and began his public ministry, which only lasted about 3.5 years, I believe without a doubt that he established, he instructed, and he commissioned this organism called the local New Testament church. I believe that from the time he ascended to heaven until the time that he returns, it seems like that's going to be pretty soon the way this world is going. We're looking for him to come back and take us out of this place. But until he does, this church still has a responsibility to do for Almighty God. So until he comes back, when he ascended to heaven, he gave the church, not an organization, not even a group of people, not an individual, but an organism called the church. He gave it a responsibility that no one else has. I was thinking this morning as we think about missions, and I've preached all kinds of messages on missions over the years, and I got to thinking this morning as we started out in Sunday school, and appreciate all of you coming to Sunday school, we're talking about what can I give to help the mission program be what it ought to be. We talked about giving self. You know why it's so important to give yourself to Christ? You know why it's so important to be able to support the church? You know why it's so important to give your substance to Christ? It's because of the church. It's because of what God has given the church. The church has a mission that's given to it by Almighty God that requires Christian people to give themselves to Christ. It requires church members to support the church. It requires those of us to pay our tithes, give our offerings, and give the faith promise of grace giving. It's because it helps the church to carry out its mission. You know, when you understand, we in Sunday school, we talked about three kinds of servants. Why is it so important that we don't have a whole bunch of renegades in the church? Because it hurts the church. Why do you think it's so important that we don't have a lot of runaways? And if we have some runaways, they come back. Like I've heard to some in this church, and we're talking to someone today, we're telling me how God has blessed. It's because of the church. Why do you think it's so important you're trying to get every man, every woman, every boy, every girl to be the kind of Christian, reliable, like Luke was? It's because of the church. And I think sometimes we don't realize how wonderful it is, how precious it is, not just to be a part of a church, but to be a part of a good church that understands it has a mission. And I've preached for years and years at our church, and I've preached all over the country. I believe with all of my heart that we've got to get more churches, not this church. I believe you understand that. We've got to understand, get churches to understand that the church has a mission that we have to get people involved. We have to get people involved in. The mission of the church is missions. You say, what is that? I believe every church ought to be involved in planting local New Testament churches here and around the world. That's the plan of God. You want to change your community? You don't need a Walmart. You need a local church. You want to change your town? You put in a local church. You want to change, a country? You put in some local New Testament church. This organism is very special to Almighty God. I'm glad I came along when there were men like Brother Thompson here who gave an example of what a local church ought to be like. You know what I'm also glad? I'm glad that some of the churches that started way back there are still standing for God. They haven't turned away from the fact that we still believe that the mission of the church is missions. So I want to talk about that, what God gave the church, what he's given Fellowship Baptist Church and every local New Testament church on the face of the earth. This is what God Almighty, who knows all, sees all, can do all, promises, all the promises we've heard here tonight, what he gave this organism called the local New Testament church. Here in this passage in Matthew chapter 28, I want you to notice, first of all, God gave the church, get hold of this, God gave the church the plan to evangelize the world. The plan. It was given by Christ to the church as a command. So I've got to understand, what am I a part of? I'm part of a plan that was given by Christ. He said, all authority is given unto me. That means this plan is authentic. We don't need a new one. We don't need to try to improve upon it. We just simply need to carry out this plan. He gave the church the plan for evangelizing the world. That makes it authentic because it was given by Christ to the church as a command. So if I'm going to be a pastor, if I'm going to be a member of a local church, if I'm going to be a deacon, if I'm going to be involved in the local church, I've got to understand that when he gave the plan to the church, he made it authentic, and I have a responsibility to obey. So let's look at this plan for just a moment. There are several things in this plan that he gave to the local church that I think sometimes we fail to understand. Christ gave the plan to the church as a command, and in that plan, he mandated something. A mandate means it's something I must be involved in. I must do. So in this plan, there's a mandate. There's a mandate that he gave to the local church. That means there's no deciding or praying about it or trying to figure it out. It's been mandated to the local church, which I'm a part of, by Christ himself. Now, what is that mandate? And here's a mandate that we need to understand. It, first of all, involves a ministry. Please get this. We talk a lot about missions. We talk a lot about the world. We talk a lot about us getting missionaries around the world. We need to talk a lot about a ministry I need to be involved in if I never go around the world. And that ministry that's given to the church, that's mandated by Jesus Christ, requires that the church be involved winning souls. You believe that? Once you win those souls, you're to try to get them baptized into the local New Testament church. And then we have the pastor and leaders and others and other Christians who's going to disciple them, teach them the things of God. So you've got this body of sinners, heard the gospel, got saved, soul winner knocked on the door, gave out a tract, came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, born again by the Spirit of God. The next step is get that person to be obedient in baptism. They're baptized into this body called the local New Testament church. Pastor Freeman gets up here every week. He opens up the Bible. He starts preaching the Word of God. The folks who come in here, they get mended in their own hearts. And then all of a sudden, as they're mended, they will go out and start ministering to the community and teaching other people one-on-one. By the way, if all you get out of a church is 30, 45 minutes on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night, you'll never be a great Christian. But once you learn to get your heart mended and you go out and minister, I guarantee you'll mature. So that's my responsibility. I come here, I plug in. All of a sudden, he starts preaching the Word of God. God starts working on my heart. I start getting a burden. I start getting a desire. I go back on my job. I give out a tract. I win that person to Christ. I start discipleship with that person. I get them to come to the greatest church in the world. They sit here. All of a sudden, they start growing. I start working with them. And all of a sudden, they're sitting here growing and growing and growing. And all of a sudden, they get scripturally baptized, join the church. Then the Holy Spirit starts roaming through the church. And as he's roaming through the church, he starts mobilizing those same people in his plan to evangelize the world. Well, I saw that was a difference. That means that every single person can be involved in God's plan, but you got to start ministering here in this area, on your job, passing out tracts, winning people to Christ, getting something for God to work with. You know, God doesn't have a problem working. He just has a problem with people. If we can get people into the body of Christ, Christ will get them around the world to preach the gospel and tell people about Jesus Christ. So that's the ministry of the church that's been mandated by Jesus Christ as a command, and every person needs to be involved in it. These tracts here, everybody ought to have some. You ought to be passing. We got people in our church right now that there's a lady in my church that came from a gospel tract way back in 1981 when we started the church. She got saved from a gospel tract, and she's still serving in our church today from a gospel tract. But if you can't pass out a tract, you can't knock on the door, you can't tell somebody about Jesus, then where in the world are we going to go with what God has mandated? If we can't do our ministry, then we'll never do our mission, because the mission gets even tougher. The ministry of the church is to win souls, get them baptized, teach them to serve, that God can mobilize them into the work of God. But the mission of the church is to take the ministry of the church to every person and every place. You know, that tells me what an awesome responsibility God's given his church. But he's God. And by the way, the early church reached the entire known world. And we have more technology, more resources and sources today than we've ever had in our world. And we're losing the battle. And we've had a pandemic in which things have changed a lot. But the Bible doesn't change. We still have a responsibility to carry out this ministry. And the church has a responsibility to take this ministry, like we just saw here in Papua New Guinea. That family is helping this church and other churches to win people, and they're ministering in their community and helping this church to be able to carry out what's been mandated as a mission to them by Almighty God. Now, to me, that changed my life. That changed my preaching. That changed what I do. That changed my whole concept about missions, to understand that the Christ who saved my soul and 2 years called me to preach and allowed me the wonderful privilege to pastor a church, I have a responsibility of trying to get every man, every woman, every boy, every girl in my local church to be involved in the ministry of this local church, that we might get more people that God can mobilize to help reach the world, every creature, every place, every person needs the gospel, and the church has been given that plan to get it done. So, wow, that's tough. Well, let's talk to the one who mandated it. So the church has been given God's plan to evangelize the world, and I'm going to tell you something. It hasn't changed. It will not change. If you're looking for, we can use technology, we can use different resources, we can make some change. But the plan of evangelizing the world given to the church is going to last till Jesus takes the church out of here. We've just got to figure out a better way to do it. We've got to get more people. We've got to have less renegades. We've got to have less runaways, more reliable people. We've got to get people that give themselves to Christ and support the church and give their substance. This church can do its best for the cause of evangelizing the world. So he gave the church the plan. The plan is authentic. It's given by Christ to the church as a command. But he didn't stop there. He said in verse number 19 of our text, well, look, 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, that's the church, saying, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then he says, go ye therefore, that's the command, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's the ministry the church ought to be involved in. Then he says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He not only gave the church the plan that's authentic for evangelizing the world, but he gave the church a promise that's assured when we're doing it. He says, I'm God. I know what I'm doing. I know what the responsibility you may have. I did not commission and command my church to do something that I don't provide the power it takes to get it done. I promise you, church. I promise you, servant in the church. I promise you, Mr. and Mrs. Reliable. I promise you, the runaway who came back. I promise every saved person who's baptized and joined the local church. I promise you, if you get involved in helping this church to do what I've commissioned and commanded to do, the two things I promise you. Lo, I am with you. You will always, always have my direct presence. Always. He says, always. I don't care where you go. You know what that tells me? It helped me early in years to understand as a soul winner or someone who's knocking on doors. We don't go out to save people. We go and God saves people. That makes everybody a good soul winner if you understand you don't have to win anybody to Christ. He is the only one who saves. But if I just go, I believe in the promises of God. It ought to be if I go, I tell, I share the gospel. It ought to be that I ought to have the belief that he goes with me. You believe that? Don't you believe? As big as the world is and all that is going on in the world, if he mandates the church to go and evangelize the world, he promises, lo, I am with you. I am with you. You will always have my direct presence there. Don't you believe that God means what he says? We have to claim that promise. So he promises that you will always have my direct presence. But he says, lo, I am with you even to the end of the world. That means the end of the age. Boy, we've had some strange things happen. If I understand that to me, to the end of the age, the end of time hadn't come. When he made this promise, he said, go, I mandate you to do that, and you are to do that until the end of the age. It didn't stop in 2019 and took a delay during the pandemic. He knew about that. He knows everything that is happening in our world. But the plan hadn't changed, and neither has the promise. Oh, when a church and a Christian understands, it's a big job, but I got a big God. And by the way, we've seen enough happen over the years to know that God keeps his promise. So the church has been given this plan that's authentic, but the church is assured the promises that go along with the plan. I simply need to understand, I have the presence of God, and I'm not to let anything that happens in this world deter me from that, because he says you to do this, church, till the end of the age. Thirdly, he didn't stop there. The Great Commission is given in the four Gospels, in Acts chapter 1, and verse number 8. He said this to the church. He said, but ye shall receive power. Now, this is not talking about authority now. He's talking about the power to get the job done. In the Gospel of Luke, when he gave the Great Commission, he told the disciples, I want you to tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Now, you Pentecostals people say, we need to tarry till we get the Holy Ghost. Well, the Holy Ghost came there and descended upon the church in Acts chapter 2. God says, I've given you a plan that's authentic. I've given it to my church. I've commanded you to do that. I promise you my direct presence and my divine providence is you'll be doing it until I come back. But I'm going to give you something to help you out. I'm going to immerse you. I don't even want you to attempt this, fellas, until you get some help. And the church was immersed in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we realized something that we tend to forget. The Holy Spirit of God is still our source. He's still our strength. He's still our success. It's not left up to us and our personalities and our ability to do what God commanded the church. We've got to get back, folks, and I think the older I get and the more I look at this troubled world that we live in and the more I go to church and the more I'm in church and all of these things happen, we have to get back to understanding that this is spiritual business. We need help. We need more than just our resources, more than just our personalities, more than just our education. We need what God empowered the church to do at the very beginning. He says, I'm going to give you a source of strength and power. The plan of evangelizing the world he gave the church is authentic because it came from Christ. The promise he gave the local church is assured. But he says it can only be accomplished by the power of God. If you're saved here tonight, you have God the Holy Spirit living in you and living in me. That's a promise. We don't have to tarry to get him. He's already here. He's just having a hard time getting us. All right, let's understand that. We don't have to tarry. We don't need more of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost needs more of us. And I've got to understand something. I've got to be cleansed and emptied and filled that he might help me. After all, I'm plugged in to his program. So he's my source. He's my strength. So what's my responsibility? My responsibility, because the church has given us this reliable power, we need to become responsible people. I have a responsibility. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He's immersed the church. He came into my heart when I got saved. Then I have that power to help me do what he has called me to do in the local church. So what's my responsibility? Well, I got to get my philosophy right according to Acts 1:8. I got to be willing to go across the street and do it. I mean, those people across the street need to be saved. I'm talking about streets. Y'all have roads. Do y'all have streets out here? Well, across the road, that'll work. Where I live from, is you go across the street. But you need to go to across the street. I mean, I need to go and reach those people. We need to reach the people in another state, wherever they may be. They need to be reached. We need to reach the people that are hard to reach in difficult areas. They need to be reached. And then we need to reach the whole world and do it all with this philosophy. Across the street, another state, among the difficult, and around the world, all at the same time. That's why missions is so important. That's why it's great to have a good missions program. That's why it's great to have missionaries. That's why it's great to increase missionaries at the cost of living. That's why it's great to do these things. They are laboring, helping us to do what God has commissioned and commanded the church to do. The plan is authentic, given by Christ to the church as a command. The promise is assured. God never goes back on his promise. The power is available, and I can only accomplish what he's commanded us to do through his power. But then fourthly, the fourth thing he gave the church. We've got the plan. We've got the promise. There's the power. But you know, he also gave the church provisions. Look at Philippians chapter number 4, another very familiar passage. Philippians chapter 4 is the great apostle Paul is writing back to another mission-hearted church at Philippi. And he begins in verse number 13 of our passage. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, this is a sad commentary here, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. I mean, nobody. I'm not doing work as a missionary, but you were involved. He said, verse 16, for even in Thessalonica ye sent, again, under my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And then he makes this verse, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Probably the majority of us who've been in church any length of time, we've memorized that verse, claimed that verse, prayed that verse, and sometimes we fail to understand the context of this verse, that this is one of those verses that doesn't apply to everybody. He's writing to a church as a missionary, and he's talking about what they did. Verses 14 and 15, notice what they did. They supported him financially. I mean, there's a little church there where no other churches were involved in it, but the church of Philippi sent once and again, he said, to my necessity. They were faithful in sending money to him on a regular basis, sent once and again. Then he says, because you realize my needs, in verse number 16. Then he gets to verse number 18. He said, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. And notice this, he said, here's what that gift meant that you sent. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. You know what he's saying? When I give my faith promise or my grace giving, when I sacrifice to get the gospel around the world, it means something to Almighty God who gave the plan. It may cost me something. I may have to do without something. If you're going to be faithful in your giving, you may have to do without something to increase your faith promise every year and your grace giving and what you do. But Paul says, it's not only important to me that you saw me as a missionary supporting me and getting behind me, but what you gave, what you trusted the church with to get the gospel around the world, it was a sweet odor to the nostrils of God who gave the plan. And I mean, well pleasing to him. I look down and I see all the faith promise giving over the years, that it didn't just please the pastor or please the missions committee or the financial people, but it pleased Almighty God. And look at the context he was saying to Philippi. You did all of that faithfully. And then I'm going to tell you what God says he'll do for you. Verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hear what he's saying, church? You want to build a building? You want more staff? You want your families to be more blessed? You want to have things happen? You make the commitment. You make the sacrifice. It may cost you something. You may not have it. But by faith or by grace, you're burdened enough about what God is burdened about, that you may do without something to get the gospel around the world. Well, let me tell you something. The God who gave the plan says, you may have a need, and it could be a big one, a little one, a middle-sized one, but whatever that need is, here's a God that's saying to his church, and I believe those in the church who participate in his plan, you won't have a need that I won't meet. And I mean, God has done some big ones in years. And God will do big ones in this church because of your mission's commitment. I was telling people we talked to today, if you go into a building program, and we've been in several of them, And I mean, they were biggies, and they were not easy, anywhere close to being easy. I mean, the gray hairs on my head probably came from a building program. When you go into those building programs, one of the things you don't ever want to do, you don't ever want to cut down on taking care of God's program of evangelizing the world. It's a promise that God will do. I can tell you time after time on individual lives in the local New Testament church where people put first what God puts first, the souls of the world, and you do that, and it may cost you something. But one of these days, when that need is there, there's a God in heaven who owns everything, promises that I'll meet your need. Church, individual, but that only applies, I believe, to men, women, boys, and girls, or a local New Testament church that's involved in getting the gospel around the world through God's authentic plan. Don't try to change it. Don't try to change the plan. The plan has been given by Christ to the church as a command. We have a ministry that's been mandated for every person to be involved in winning souls, getting them baptized, teaching or discipling them so that God can take them and mobilize them in his program. I don't know if, I haven't heard of too many people being called out of the sports program to go to the mission field without, or called out of the basketball program, or called out of any program to go out and win the world. Everybody I know and all the missionaries I know were called out of the local New Testament church. That doesn't mean that God doesn't call somebody and put a burden on their heart. I was a businessman. He called me to salvation, but I was in the local church when he called me to preach. I was in the local church when I went out. And all the churches we've started, they were all men who were called out of local New Testament churches. This is God's program for working. But it's our responsibility to run a ministry that's going to put people in the pews. You put people in the pews on the good Bible preaching, and I guarantee you God will start calling people. And by the way, the good thing, the way God works in this church, then I can tell you by experience, if he calls a good one out of your church, he's not going to put one to replace him that's not going to be worse. He can replace good people with other good people and other better people because that's his church, his organism. Can you imagine if all of a sudden Pastor Freeman gets up here to preach and all of you have left, decides you're all going to go wherever. All of a sudden everybody get called and leave out of the local church. You know, hard time preaching. So you fill us up. You got to be filling up real quick. But this takes years. I mean, these are sinners saved by grace. I mean, taught and trained. The people that go to work here are not just people all of a sudden think, I want to do something. I want to go work in the church. No, you got saved, and the Word of God mended your heart, and God dealt with your heart in which you got involved. The people that give, I mean, when a church has a certain amount of age on it, you look at the people and you see what God has done and how he's worked in lives and built and trained people. Can we understand that God does that not just to make it better for us on earth? He does that because we're involved in his plan of evangelizing the world. And may God help us to take this authentic plan, grab a hold of those assured promises, keep ourselves cleansed and emptied and filled with the Holy Spirit that he can accomplish what he's called the church to do. And then as we preach about this morning, may God help us to be able to give our substance for the cause and sacrifice, do whatever I need to do. God, give me more faith. And if it's hard for me to get involved in missions financially by what I see, help me to do it anyway and pour out your grace upon me like you did the churches of Macedonia. I want to be a part of God's plan. After all, the mission of the church is missions. Next week, it'll still be missions. Next month, still be missions. Next year, still be missions. And if Jesus should tarry 10 years from now, it'll still be missions. That's God's authentic plan with his assured promise can only be accomplished by his power. And it will be advanced by the people of God who've learned to give faithfully of self and support and their substance to get this plan carried out the way God wants it to be. We can all do a better job, and I hope in the next coming weeks and months and years that God will continue to use Fellowship Baptist Church to do even greater things for the cause of world evangelization, because we understand the mission of this church is missions. Let's bow our heads in prayer.